Isaiah, 14 chapter book of the Bible. If you can't find it, if you can find the major prophets, which would be Ezekiel, Jeremiah, Daniel, right behind Daniel, you'll find the book of Hosea, the book of Hosea. Once you find that, if you'll find Hosea chapter number 4 and chapter number 7, Hosea 4 and Hosea chapter number 7. And then if you'll stand to honor the reading of God's Word. I do want to say that we had a great revival up there at Rock Springs Baptist with Brother Derek Howard this past week. I enjoyed the one preaching the revival, needed revival. And thank the Lord he sent revival my way. And appreciate all that God did while we were up there. And I think the church got help. I think the pastor got help. And just appreciate the Lord allowing us to be a part of what he was doing and is doing up there at Rock Springs Baptist. Good church, good people. And I sure appreciate the Lord's allowances in life, allowing us to be there. Hosea chapter 4. Now, I want to go ahead and forewarn you, it's going to take me a while to get through this message. But you can leave here telling everybody I'm a short preacher because I'm only 5'6" and a half. Amen. God has burdened my heart. I've studied this week for my own self. And God has used it in my own life. I want to preach a message. I simply want to entitle Backsliding. Backsliding. Now, some people need to slide forward before they can backslide. You can't backslide if you ain't slid forward first. Hosea chapter number 4, we're going to look in verse number 16 and 17, and then you'll just hold your place in chapter 7 while we preach through this thought this morning. Hosea chapter 4, verse number 16, the Word of God says this, "For Israel slideth back as a backsliding heifer. Now the Lord will feed them as a lamb in a large place. Ephraim is joined to idols. Let him alone." That's some sad words coming from the prophet of the man of God. Ephraim has joined himself to idols. Let him alone. I pray that God never speaks those words over my life. I pray that God never leaves me alone. Our Father, this morning as we come before you, Lord, we've heard the songs about this great country, and we do live in a great country. I'm thankful for those that have served this country and fought for the freedoms that we enjoy. And Lord Jesus, I thank you for dying at Calvary, that we could have the freedom to be a Christian in this country. I thank you for the freedom and the liberty that you've given me of the Holy Ghost. And I thank you, Lord, for the freedoms and liberties you've given me of life. I thank you, Father, for everything. And Lord, I pray that you please create within me a clean heart, renew within me a right spirit. And God, help me this morning as I preach through these thoughts, that you would anoint me with that power that comes from above. For Lord, without you, I can do nothing. I pray that the preaching would be done in the power and demonstration of the Spirit of God. But Lord, I pray not for myself alone. I pray for every person in this room. I pray, God, that you would anoint them. And Lord, please open up hearts even now. For For Lord, without you, they cannot receive that engrafted word. So God, please be with us. Please touch us. Please meet with us through this portion of this service. And we're thankful for all things that you'll do and all of God's people said. Amen. You can be seated this morning. When we first moved up here, we bought a brand new home. And purchasing that home, we discovered after we moved in some things that needed to be tended to. One of those things that needed to be tended to was a wobbling fan. It was one of the ceiling fans that they put in one of the rooms, and it wobbled real bad. It was out of sync with itself, and so I called those that built the home and told them about it, and they sent an electrician out there to come tend to that wobbling fan. It was wobbling so bad that I was afraid, honestly, that it was going to work its way out of its holder in the ceiling and fall. The electrician came to the house, and after some while of him working on that fan, he was about to make his way off the ladder, and I asked him, I said, "Sir, I said, are you a Christian? Are you saved?" And he affirmed to my heart that he was, and he told me about the day that he received Jesus Christ into his heart. And he looked at me after a brief pause, and he told me this. He said, "I am so glad that you asked me and brought up that question." He said, "Because there's something I want to ask you." He said, "What is backsliding?" He said, "Is it when you quit going to church? Is that what backsliding is?" And we talked about it for a while, and we talked about, I told him some things that I knew of the scripture, but it struck a chord in me. And so I went to the source, the Word of God, and I began studying backsliding from the Word of God. And through all of my studies, the Lord landed me in the book of Hosea. I looked up a definition of backsliding in the dictionary, and it means this, according to some of the dictionaries. It means to fall off. It means to apostatize, to turn gradually from the faith and practice of Christianity. It went on to say that when a person who is saved slides back into their sins and turns away from God. It also means when a devoted Christian begins to take his or her relationship with Jesus less seriously. To shorten it, to capsulize it, it means to fall away and slide down. And that's what the word backsliding means. It means to fall away. We have an expression that we use. It may not be used much anymore, but we talk about somebody falling off of the wagon. I wondered about that expression. I wanted to know where that expression came from and exactly what it means. Back in the 1800s, there was a great move in our country. We came out of the gunslinger days in the Old West. And in the 1800s, there was a great move to try to stop public drinking and all that goes on with that. And they were trying to shut down saloons. And there was many societies that sprung up during that time. And there was the Women's Temperance Society. And there was other movements that tried to actually shut saloons down. I wish they'd still try that. To try to shut saloons down, and I'm wired up this morning. To try to shut saloons down, and they even would have a pledge that an individual would take, and they would promise, they would affirm that they would no longer drink alcohol except for medicinal uses, and they would sign that piece of paper. In those same days, there was what was known as a water wagon. And they would use those water wagons driven by horses and a driver set up on top of the great big water source that they had, tank. And they would use that water wagon to spray the streets because they were still all dirt. And especially down the main street of a town to try to calm the dust, to keep the dust from doing this dusty thing. And there was a water wagon that was being driven by a certain individual, and he fell off of the wagon. And it was then discovered that he was drunk is the reason that he fell off. And they found in his pocket that pledge to never drink again. And hence the expression, they have fallen off of the wagon. Backsliding is, I didn't realize this, but it is a debated issue today, especially in the church age, in this latter church age. And there's some preachers that believe that it is impossible for a New Testament believer to backslide. And the only question that I have for that, well, if that's true, why do so many Christians do it? I'm done. Why do so many Christians backslide? Why is it that so many tend to start out a certain way and maybe enjoying the Lord and enjoying the goodness of God in church and in just, you can, every service they're there, but then something happens and they begin falling away. I thought about that question that man asked me and with a ceiling fan. He said, is backsliding when someone quits going to church? Backsliding is just when somebody quits going to church, that is just a symptom of something far greater going on inside of a heart of a Christian. Backsliding is a reality of the Christian life. We can backslide and sit on the pew because it's a matter of the heart. We can backslide and sing in the choir. We can backslide while we're behind the pulpit. We can backslide shaking the brother's hand, telling them that everything's fine. Backsliding is just a part of the Christian life. I've backslid. I'm confessing. It says to confess our faults one to another. I'm confessing. I've been backslid in this church. Right here. I've been backslid in my heart. Oh, I could hide it from the deacons and hide it from my wife, but there was one that I just could not hide it from. It was the one that saved my soul. I began studying backsliding in the book of Hosea especially. Ephraim takes center stage in the book of Hosea. Hosea is a wonderful book of a love story. It's about how much God loves Israel, but yet they would keep turning away from the Lord and going into their sins and living away from the Lord. But yet God kept pursuing them. He kept loving them. He kept pouring out His grace and mercy to them. He tried and tried to bring them back time and time again. And the Bible does tell us that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. And it's profitable. Some would argue and say, well, that's all Old Testament, and the word backslide is not found in the New Testament. The thought about that is the book of Hosea is quoted more times in the New Testament than any other book of the Old Testament. And the predominant theme of Hosea is Israel and Ephraim going away from the Lord. I remember the days when I first got saved. Brother Charles, I was listening to your testimony and how wonderful it was. How precious Jesus was to me. How real he was, and how just present he was in my life. And oh, I loved that. I couldn't wait to read his Bible. I could not wait to get on my knees and talk to him in prayer. I couldn't wait to get to the house of God. But I've got to confess, along the way, some things have happened in my heart that caused me to backslide. The book of Hebrews, listen to this. The book of Hebrews says this. It says, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and good work, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is. Why is it that some Christians just seem like they only need a little bit? Why is it that it seems like some Christians can take it or leave it? Why is it that it seems like some Christians can just go if they feel like it, and if they don't, that's okay too? Doesn't bother them? Doesn't seem to upset? It bothers me when I can't go to church. It bothers me when I cannot be there. I get sick, my wife gets a little aggravated with me. And I was sick one day, and it was on a Wednesday. And I was laying on the couch, and I was telling her how bad I felt. And I thought in sympathy she would run and get me some medicine. She said, well, you need to get off the couch and we'll get you some medicine. But she had asked me before that. She said, are you going to church tonight? I said, oh, yeah. And that's why she told me, if I was big boy enough to go to church and me being sick, I'm big boy enough to get up off the couch and go get me some medicine. You know, it's amazing what we can do. But when it comes to the Lord, things we can't. People use Facebook. I just wonder if maybe their individual Facebook accounts are going to show up at the Great White Throne of the Judgment City. I wonder if the Lord's going to say, let's look at your Facebook and look at all the things that you did.
Where's the white hankies at this morning? Oh, I preach it, Brother John. Whoa, glory to God. Let's study together this thought of backsliding and look at it from the Word of God. Number one, I want us to consider the characteristics of backsliding. Look in chapter 7 of Hosea with me at verse number 9 and 10. It said, strangers have devoured his strength and he knoweth it not. Yea, gray hairs are here and there upon him, yet he knoweth not. And the pride of Israel testifieth to his face, and they do not return to the Lord their God, nor seek him for all this. The characteristics of backsliding, one of the characteristics is that it's an unconscious thing. It begins happening little by little. Now look up here. I've got gray hairs all in my head. I have never felt one gray hair from one white hair from another. I've never. It's an unconscious thing. It
the turning of that gray hair is a picture of what goes on in our heart. And little by little, we allow the enemy to have this and to have that. Little by little, we let this go and that go. Little by little, we give up this and we give up that. Little by little, we quit praying. Little by little, we quit going to church. And little by little, we quit reading our Bible. And little by little, we begin our journey to that song. It's an unconscious thing. I want you to notice, number two, the characteristics of backsliding is that it is a weakening thing. It said, verse number 9 again, it says, strangers have devoured his strength, and he knoweth it not. It's a weakening thing. That supernatural strength of God begins dissipating in our lives. It begins waning in our lives. Listen, I cannot live without the power of God in my life. And you cannot live without the power of God in your life. We need His power. His power is a protecting power. It is a great power. It is a power that every Christian needs. It's not just for the preacher. It's not just for the choir members. It's for every child of God. We need God's protecting power in our lives. We need Him to protect us. He said in the Old Testament, He said, every weapon that is formed against thee. If God be for us, who can be against us? I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. We don't need the power of God waning in our lives. We need God's power to live this Christian life. We need God's touch. We need God's favor. We need God's power upon us. For without Him, we can do nothing. But little by little, those gray hairs start turning. And we begin losing our supernatural strength of God. Samson
was a great, mighty man for the Lord. But his strength was supernatural. It was not just humanly possible to do what Samson did. And Samson loved playing games. He loved playing games with the things of God. And one day he sat in Delilah's barber chair. And she took the razor and cut the hairs of his head off. And the Bible says that the Philistines came. And Samson said, I'm going to shake myself and go out there against the Philistines. And the Bible says this, that the Spirit of God had departed from him. And he wished it. He didn't even know it.
Lord willing, I'm going to have them to come and sing for us. And when that husband and wife opened their mouth and began singing, oh, the power of God was on them. Oh, the power of God. And God began moving in that service. And young teenage kids began flocking to the altar. And coming to the altar, he cried and weeping and praying. That's the power of God that we need back in the churches today. We cannot afford to go one service without the power of God being upon us all. We need God's power. Can I get a witness? I told that fella that sang that night after the service, I got his name and number so I could give him a call, and I
spoke to him just a moment. I looked at him. I said, God's power is upon you. God's hand is on you. And he dropped his head. I said, no. I said, I'm not doing that. Try to boast, brag on you. I said, don't ever lose that. Don't ever lose God's power. Oh, we can't afford. I can't afford to stand up here and preach one message without the power of God. And you cannot afford to listen to one message without the power of God. We need God's word from heaven to swamp our souls and change us. We need God to help us in this life. We need the characteristics of backsliding. But secondly, would you look at it with me out of chapter 7 on the cause of backsliding? In verse number 2, he says, they consider not, look at it, in their heart that I remember all their wickedness. Neglecting the heart. Our relationship with Jesus Christ is a heart matter. We believed in our heart the day we got saved. And our heart is what he's looking at. It's not what we say with our mouths that the Lord's listening to, but it's what we're doing in our hearts. There's so many today that say one thing with their lips. They say one thing with their mouth. And they give God lip service. But what they're living is totally opposite from that. Oh, this generation does not need that kind of testimony. It needs Christians that would live for him and show the world that Jesus made a difference in your life. That's the kind of generation we need today. That's the kind of Christianity we need today. Neglecting of the heart. In Proverbs chapter 23, verse 26, God says this, my son, give me thine heart. If God has your heart, he has everything. If God has your heart, you'll pray. God has your heart, you'll give. If God has your heart, you'll be at church. If God has your heart, oh, you'll be in that Bible looking and seeing what God has got for you. If God's got your heart, he's got you. And that's what God is wanting. He's not wanting just the outward lip phrase. There's a lot of people that are just talking about God, but they're do not show that they're really a Christian. I asked Joe Chancy one time about a man that was in his church. I said, is he saved? And this is what he told me, Brother C.W. He said, not enough you can tell it. Oh, I want this world to know that Jesus saved my soul, and I want my life to own up to it. Amen. Amen. I want people to know that Jesus saved me. But we begin our backsliding by neglecting our hearts. Number two, the cause of backsliding. Look at it with me. In verse number 8, by mixing with the world, Ephraim, he hath mixed himself among the people. Ephraim is a cake not turned. The Lord's got a sense of humor in the way that he writes certain things. You know what he's saying? He said, Ephraim is half baked. In other words, he had one foot in the world and one foot in the church. And let me say this. If you've got one foot in the world and one foot in the church, you're going to walk funny as a child of God. You just cannot have one foot in the world and one foot in the church and walk a straight line for Jesus. You cannot love the world and love Jesus at the same time. They're two opposite things. He that is a friend of the world is no friend of God. I'm just trying to tell you, we cannot adopt the ways of the world and live for Jesus and glorify him. It will never work. It'll never work. It'll never work. Verse number 7, a failure to pray. The end of verse 7, there is none among them that calleth unto me. When you neglect your prayer life, you're backsliding away from the Lord. I began thinking about this thought of backsliding. It all began in the garden. When Adam and Eve sinned, it said this. It said that they hid themselves from the presence of the Lord. I just want to go ahead and serve notice on all of us. You can't hide from God. The eyes of the Lord run to and fro in all of the earth, seeing the good and the evil. You cannot hide from God. There's nothing going on in your life that God does not know about it. And you cannot hide your heart and your life from the Lord. Jesus knows your heart. He knows your heart. Failure to pray could bring up verse number 11 about them just being emotional and not living by faith. Ephraim is also like a silly dove without heart. Just being emotional. When things get to bothering me, let me put it like this. When y'all get to bothering me, I know I ain't got to go. I tell them in this church, we got a very unique ministry. We got a ministry called the Ministry of Chipmunking. If you walk in here with a chip on your shoulders, we're looking for it. We're going to try our best to knock it off. And that's just the way Merville Baptist Church is. Boy, there's been some brethren say some things to me, and I've said some things to some of the brethren. But come on now, we're in church. There's been things said to me in this church by this people. And sometimes I have to get to me and mine and rip the beards out. This is too heavy. Emotional. Verse number 12. The end of the verse. He says, I will chastise them as their congregation hath heard, not heeding the warnings. The cause of backsliding. We got an amazing way of, when we sit in a service, of exempting ourselves from what the preacher's preaching. Oh, that don't apply to me. That's not anything to me. But when God's word warns us, we need to sit up and listen to what God says. The characteristics, the causes, the consequences. Verse number 1, the devil's coming. Verse number 1, he said, when I would have healed Israel, Then the iniquity of Ephraim was discovered. Look at the end of the verse. And the thief cometh in, and the troop of robbers spoileth without. The devil's coming. When we backslide on the Lord, we actually enter into the domain of Satan. And he has access to our lives when we backslide on the Lord. The devil's coming. Destruction, verse number 13, and derision, verse number 16. Look in verse 16. The end of the verse, this shall be their derision in the land of Egypt. Derision, that's an amazing word. You know what the word derision means? It means to be made a laughingstock. Oh yeah, he says he's a Christian. Look at what's happened to him now. Oh yeah. So what happened to Samson? He lost that power of God in his life, that presence of the Lord. It said that the Philistines took him and made sport of him in the house of their God. They began laughing at that great man of God because he had fallen. But then the cure. In verse number 1, he said, when I would have healed Israel. You know, when we think of healing, we always think in terms of physical, being physically healed. We always think, well, healing of cancer or healing. And God does heal. I believe in the healing power of God. Can I get a witness in here? I believe in God's healing power. The healing power is not just physical. What most of us need is a good spiritual healing. There used to be a man that worked at Dell Industries, that business that my dad and his brothers owned. His name was Shorty Herring. Shorty Herring was a kind of Christian man. And I remember as a child, we had lived at Dell Industries and walked with my dad through the corridors of that business and the machines would be running, and then I saw with Shorty Herring. Always wore a little. Hosea chapter 14. This is God's final plea to Israel and Ephraim. And he says in chapter 14, verse 1, he says, O Israel, return unto the Lord thy God, for thou hast fallen by thine iniquity. Take with you words and turn to the Lord. Say unto him, take away all iniquity and receive us graciously. So will we render the calves of our lips. Verse number 4, I will heal their backslidings. I will love them freely, for mine anger is turned away from him. Remember when I pastored down in Waycross, God did a great work down there. Used Bible Baptist Church in so many wonderful ways. I used to tell them all the time, I say some of the greatest services that have gone on the planet Earth has happened in these four walls of Bible Baptist Church. And we've seen God do great mighty things here. And that